Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com/startup for a free business startup kit. And for special savings, enter AAA at checkout. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 200-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. Oh, I'm sorry. I was drinking out of my All About Android mug. Welcome to All About Android. This is episode 309, recorded on Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. That was totally, like, very last second decision there. It was poorly executed.
Were you about to take a swig of coffee and the show started? Is that what happened?
You were also holding it in a very awkward manner, by the way.
As I stated, it was super last second. It was like, oh, it's coming to, it didn't work. I didn't get there in time.
Also, Jason, I know it's been a while since you've edited this show, but you're not actually on screen at that part. That's all covered.
Keep it in. Keep it in, Brian. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Florence Ion.
I could have planned that a little bit better. I think in my brain I thought that the logo was on one side, so I had to be like this. But it's on both. See? If you go to twit.tv/store, you too can get an All About Android mug.
You can.
It just took us about 3 months into 2017 to identify our first clip for the best of.
Yeah.
There we go. Everyone, excellent. Mark this down. Uh-oh. March 14th, best of 2017 just happened.
Oh, man. What was I thinking? Welcoming back to the show, Juan J.C. Bagnell from PocketNow.com. How's it going, Juan?
It's going great. That was hilarious, man. That was really good.
I needed to have some coffee. What can I say? Coffee is that important to me. Apparently.
How are you going to go to sleep with this daylight savings shenanigans?
Doesn't matter.
I know. We are all...
All that matters is get through the next couple of hours.
Juan, are you drinking kombucha?
Yeah, it's the blueberry mint. It's the home...
I know that brand.
I was going to awkwardly do another product placement on your show.
You got to hold it like at a wrong angle like Jason was.
And with no fingers blocking any part of the label as the way normal people would consume a beverage.
That's how they do it. And when I don't have a can of soda, but you notice when they hold the can of soda in the commercial, it's like their thumb is
crazy.
It's all weird because you can't block the logo. You know?
Or especially in movies too. Like, I need to enjoy this tasty cola, and like that's not how you would exactly just like that. Just
refreshing.
Like, you nailed it, nailed it. You'll
Lots
be on the big screen hawking products while also running away from car chases.
Exactly. That's all I've ever wanted. It's great to have you back, Juan. Thank you for hopping on.
By the way.
Yeah.
There's 2 hours right now left on that mug on Teespring.
I don't think that time really means anything. Every time I log into the twit.tv store, twit.tv/store, it always has like a countdown to the end of this thing.
twit.tv/store.
But then I go back there next week.
At tweet.
And it's there again with a countdown.
So you can buy your own All About Android mug.
I'm going right now.
And other Twit merchandise.
Oh, boy. I didn't.
Hashtag ad.
We've got a new one. I didn't even see the This Week in Google one.
This Week in Google shirt. Anyway, go buy some stuff.
I didn't mean for this show to begin with product placement. I really didn't. It was a very last second.
It's that time of year. Product placement is strong.
Apparently.
I would say you made the transition pretty organically, though. So we're doing fine.
All right, we're doing awesome.
You know what else is organic?
What? Android
the
stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be discussing Google and Levi's smart jacket. Maybe there's some organic fabric in there. The fate of Vertu, or maybe the destiny of Vertu, depending on how you look at it. A review of the Huawei P10 an iPhone case that is an Android device, and the Slackification of Hangouts is upon us. But first, before we kind of move into things, I first of all wanted to send out a big congratulations. Yasmin Evgen from the Material Podcast. Mm-hmm. She's been, you know, she's a friend of the show. She is joining the Google Design Relations team.
Yay!
The Google mothership descended upon Yasmin. And
well, actually, soon it's going to be a circus tent.
Sky. Yeah, that's
because
true.
We do have the official plans, or the official plans have been filed with the city of Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
Google will be building
a
circus
tent.
That's
true. They're building their own spaceship, yeah. Kind of like Apple's.
Circus tent.
Circus tent.
Really?
Circus tent. It looks like a tent. And I want to give Google that circusy thing, but anyway, yay!
Okay, yeah, congratulations, Yasmin. That's awesome. The unfortunate thing is, I know how it works. When someone starts working for Google, it usually means they aren't allowed to come on the show anymore.
yeah. Google's gain is our loss.
Yes, unfortunately, and you know, and she won't be on the Material Podcast. Also announced as well. So big loss for that show,
but a big win for Google.
Yeah, that's for awesome. Sure. Big time, congrats. And also, Ron, you sent me a link to an XKCD comic.
Yeah, actually, yesterday I got a whole bunch of you on Twitter sending this to me. I had already seen it, but thank you very much. And basically, as we all know, XKCD gets us. And the subject was chat systems, as he says, he's a hard time keeping track of which contents use which chat symptoms, chat systems, not symptoms.
Freudian slip, though.
Exactly. I've never seen a better representation of the mental map that goes through my head when I realize I have to message somebody. Okay, great. Are they on Slack? Are they on SMS? Or is it through Facebook?
Or is it the chat tab in an old Google Doc? Been there, done that.
Well, we're there right now.
We're there right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very well done. Very, very well done by XKCD. So I wanted to thank everybody who sent it to them and show that it's not just me and not just us complaining about the messaging conundrum. In fact, I had lunch with a friend of mine who had recently switched from iOS to the Pixel, and he said that he is selling his Pixel and going back to iOS, and it's because of the lack of integration with iMessage and things like that. He has a newborn baby. He wants to send his parents videos, and it's impossible on the phone, on the Pixel. And so he's going back to the iPhone for that single reason.
That is so interesting. Wow. I just saw right before the show an interview. I think somebody tweeted it to me of Eric Schmidt interview at some conference overseas, and one of the attendees in the audience asked him a question about the messaging, you know, conundrum, and you know how Google plans to rectify that or whatever. Eric basically said, you know, ultimately, probably what'll happen is that the one that wins out will get the features of the other ones that don't quite make it.
Hmm.
And then he goes on to say, but I don't really think it's that big a deal. I think people make this a much bigger deal than it actually is.
I feel like
maybe that's a little tone deaf. What do you think?
That's a little not knowing what's going on. I mean, Juan, what do you think of this? I mean, I'm railing on this on a weekly basis.
That's a let them eat cake kind of reply. You know, it really does. The reason why we have these pocketable supercomputers is so that we can do things like communicate effectively with the people we care about. And when there are obvious gaps in that strategy, it gives you an incentive. It gives you a reason to look at what other people are using. And maybe that means you don't stick with a certain platform or particular application. It's just funny that XKCD has been so ahead of the curve on this kind of commentary, though. I remember another comic they did a couple years ago where it's like, oh, there are 14 different ways to do that. Someone should just come up with one way and make it a standard. And like 6 months later, there are 15 different ways to do this thing. And it kind of feels like that's what Google's strategy has been.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If the internet did not exist in the way it exists until today, and we were inventing web browsing, it would completely not work because Apple would have its own protocol, Google would have its own protocol, Facebook would have its own protocol. But because the fact that the internet and the web was all laid out before commercial interests got into it, we have HTTP and HTTPS, which are agreed upon protocols that everybody can use. And the fact that messaging emerged in a time of competition and a time of innovation amongst companies, that's what's damned it. And I'm a broken record, and I'm sorry. Get off my lawn.
I think the internet were invented yesterday, we'd all just be on Google Wave. It'd be fine.
It's true.
That's a world I could live in. Yeah. Without further ado, Brian, it's time for the news.
Whether you prefer a hot or cold beverage, be sure to do it in an All About Android mug. Now it's time for Android news.
And that it is. So
see, now that's much better, Jason. Well done.
That's smooth. That just like better. The flavor of whatever beverage you're consuming right now.
It's delicious.
It's coffee.
Sorry.
At 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I realized actually while you guys were talking just a few minutes ago, I felt that like coffee buzz.
Uh-oh.
where it like it maybe went a little too far.
Oh no.
So I'm trying to go down. No. Flow.
I shouldn't have vibrating. Watched the Kelly Taylor episode of the drug addiction before this. Anyway, no,
take it.
Hey, who likes to ride their bikes? What if you could control your smartphone by just doing that on your sleeve?
Swiping your sleeve?
Just swiping your sleeve. You might soon be able to do that this fall when the Project Jacquard jacket finally comes out from Levi's. Now, this jacket was supposed to make it on the market kind of around this time, but it's been delayed until autumn, which is fine, I guess. I'm saying that because I really would like to wear a jacket that lets me control my smartphone and flip through notifications.
Are you expecting that you might actually get
this jacket? Yes. So, well, okay, this jacket's $350, which for people who aren't really... who don't really need to have, you know, 300 different jackets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, but there's a lot of technology embedded in it.
Right.
So this was first announced in 2015 at Google I.O. If we remember, it kind of was debuted there, actually kind of quietly on the second day.
Yeah, the Jacquard.
We talked about this. I remember talking about it.
Yeah, it was by ATAP. Yeah. ATAP had announced it. And this is called a commuter jacket. So you're supposed to wear it when you're on your bike. It just looks like any other jean jacket.
It does a really good job, I think, of hiding the technology.
I mean, you can't even... Yeah. It's by Levi's, which they make jeans.
Well,
I'm back in a pair of 501s now. I'm stoked.
Yeah, they're the American brand of jeans that they started it all. I mean, they're not the jeans I wear, but I know many people do. I love this. I love the fact that we saw this 2 years ago, and now it's in reality. Juan?
No, I'm on board. We kind of got stuck with wearables, just meaning like smartwatches, which we're going to be talking about one later in this podcast. But the expanding on different types of interactions, expanding on how we control data and services is really going to be key for the consumer side of this. You know, we've got to find newer and organic ways. And there are big problems with driving a car or operating a bicycle and trying to do something on your phone at the same time. You know, that's a bad recipe. So any company that's looking at making this a better interaction has my vote and will probably get some of my cash.
Well, so this uses, for those who don't know, this uses conductive fabric. So it really is the mechanism that you just basically do this and it would work. And I have used it and it's quite remarkable how accurate it is in real time, by the way. You'll be able to answer calls, change music tracks, get navigation directions. Sounds a lot like Android Wear 2.0, the functionality of Android Wear 2.0. Yeah. And quite frankly, this is something that, you know, yesterday I left the house, which is quite a feat in and of itself when you work from
home. Bravo, congratulations.
I left the house yesterday and I was halfway to San Francisco and I thought to myself, man, I forgot my LG Watch Style at home. And I was actually kind of bummed. Because now I'm kind of looking forward to, with Android Wear 2.0, I'm kind of looking forward to more of the interaction. Maybe it's because I spent review time with it. I don't know. But I like having that extra bit of technology.
It's like you lose
flair.
A part of one of your senses.
Yeah, it's technology it really flair. It's part of my identity as a person to the world. And I know this sounds silly, but I don't mean it to be. It's not silly and it's not shallow. It's part of your identity to the world, like what you're wearing.
Well, it's the element of fashion that is tied into because you're wearing it. It's
exactly.
Different from something that you put in your pocket and you hide at certain times. And
I'm an Android Wear user.
I think this is very cool and shows the we've got to expand like we said beyond the watch. And I love it. I think this is great.
I'll be curious to see how many they sell. Yeah.
Yeah, price tag's a little pricey. I don't know if I can justify $350, but you got to put that first one out there. And then the prices will come down and that sort of thing. So, I look forward to
it. It is a conductive jacket, which is like not.
I was going to say,
And also, you would spend $300 on a smart, on that LG Watch Sport, which is huge and ginormous. This is at least a jacket that you can wear to cover you from the elements.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, let's not pretend that there aren't fashionable jackets that cost a lot more than $350 with zero functionality, you know, for those of us who care
absolutely
about
absolutely zero
and
functionality.
Function.
It doesn't even make you look cool. Really.
So isn't it a little frustrating when so much of the editorializing on a product like this is, it's too expensive.
Yes,
and you're like,
it is.
It's first generation. Like, we
it
have
is.
To
considering
see where
how
this
much
goes.
People spend on Yeezys and other sorts and such things.
Well, this is, yeah. But no, this is the same reaction to Google Glass, which right. admittedly was way more expensive and maybe
and
justified in its.
And it looked, yeah, it wasn't. But, it wasn't part of the style. I mean, this is just a...
Well, I mean, to a certain degree, it kind of was. It was Google saying, this is the style. This
You're
is
right.
what the future looks
it,
like.
It was style I didn't want to adopt.
No, my future is not a Robert Scoble fashion future. I need something else.
No, nobody's is.
A Robert
nobody's
Scoble
is.
Fashion
no.
would be in the shower, though. Let's not forget.
Oh, fail creeper.
Anyways, video mail. Not from Yay. The shower. We've got not one, but two video mails. Neither of them are from the shower. You could be happy about that. First up is Kyle Veach, who sent us this video question. Kyle.
Boy, crew, quick question for you. So recently we got a free line with T-Mobile, and I had an old Android phone lying around. I decided to give this phone to my oldest daughter, but then I started wondering what would be the best way to set up the phone for her. So I could log into it with my Google account and just try to lock it down. I could log into the phone with my account and then create a profile for her, or I could just completely log into her account that I created for her on the phone. I know there's a lot of different ways you can do it, and I would like it so it would pop up on my Android device manager so that I could lock the phone down or make it ring if it got lost or stolen, but I'm not sure what's the best way to go all that. I know you guys don't have older kids yet, but I thought maybe you would have some insight on it, so let me know. Thanks, guys.
So you've got an extra phone, and you want to set it up for your oldest daughter or son. Do you set it up with an account that you create for them, or do you set it up with an account that you have for yourself, and you can lock it down or control it from there?
There's one critical piece of information missing is that how old is his oldest daughter?
That's a really good question. I mean, Google.
If she's at the age where she's starting to take agency over her own social media, then I would say you want to find an opportunity to set her up with her own accounts. If this is, you know, if she's a little younger, like pre-tween, then you probably want it on your account. And have you know, sort of a restricted user on that phone.
So, under
so you can kind
11.
Of help monitor what's going on. It just depends on how mature
That's
you
true.
Feel your child is. But that to me would really be the deciding factor. If you're starting to let your daughter exercise her own freedom online under some supervision, obviously, then I would say try and find an opportunity to craft unique accounts for her and then just kind of wrap it all up in a Google family account, shared access.
I like the family account, but I know that there is actually pretty good kid controls that you can do from the Google Play family share settings.
On an OS level or on a per app basis? Because I mean, there are.
I believe
some,
it's on a well, like, both. I believe it's on a per app and
like a profile. Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about? The profile
mm-hmm,
access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some stuff that you can do around the profiles. Google has a 13 year minimum age restriction,
oh.
so you could follow that and say, well, you know, if they're 13,
yeah.
then they're allowed by Google standards to have their own account. Of course, how many people follow that? I'm sure people create accounts for, you know, their kids that are younger than that all the time. The risk that you take, in my opinion, of setting up a phone with your account information for your kid, if your kid is actually taking that phone away from the home, is that now all of your information
is out in the
is
open.
In the hands
yeah.
of someone who isn't responsible potentially to take, you know, take care of that
information. Who is responsible
information.
Enough
and
for the phone, yes, but not for
Pandora's
the information,
box.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. I don't know how comfortable do you feel with that aspect, but yeah, I didn't really know the answer to this when I watched the video. was very curious to know what you
and you're and you're a parent. I mean, I don't have kids, so I couldn't even weigh in on this. I mean, I'm my parents just gave me a computer and left me alone, but that was in a different time. But you know,
and
I,
look what
I can't
happened
imagine
there.
It.
Woo!
Exactly.
Look what happened, Ron. This is what happens. Yeah, I mean, you know, my kids are a lot younger. You know, our oldest is 7 years old. So on the tablets that we have that they use, it's just like it's my account, and
but they don't take those to school with them.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's very limited. It's very controlled in the house.
Yeah, my daughter's 16 months old, so right now we're just trying to keep her away from glowing rectangles as best we can.
Yes.
But we do have, like, accounts set up for her. Like, we have a Gmail account sort of on lockdown for her.
Baby's first
That's
Gmail
what
account.
What she decides to do or what she wants to use when she gets older. But it's now we're just trying to mitigate.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have a kid who doesn't know how a magazine works because they spend all their time playing with a tablet. So
That's a much larger topic than how to set up a phone for your kid. Yeah, let's move on. We got another video mail. Alan sent in a video mail about a hidden treasure in Google Home.
Hey, AAA crew, it's Alan from San Antonio. And something that you were all talking about on episode 308 really reminded me of something else that had happened to me. So a couple of days ago, my son and I are playing a video game, and we get to a point where our character is trapped. And we can't really move on. We're going to die one way or the other. And so my son says, hey, we should just kill ourselves and then go back to the starting point. So that's some pretty sound video game logic. So we did that and we moved on with the game. But as we were moving on with the game, somebody spoke up and said, I just want you to know that you're not alone. Here's the number for the suicide prevention hotline.
Oh.
It was our Google Home had piped up. And I think that when my son had said I should just kill myself or something like that, Google heard that. That ended up being some type of a hidden trigger word or something. And that made it pop up with that message, that very positive message. And so I think it's great that they are taking some steps to, you know, help people take care of themselves and realize that they aren't alone and that there are options. That's great. It was a little bit surprising and a little bit disconcerting. Fortunately, it wasn't anything as nefarious as trying to sell me some Evian water or something like that. But I just wanted to go ahead and share that experience with you all and your viewers and see if anybody else had an experience like that. Thanks, AAA Group.
That's a direct cause and effect sort of experience.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I love the fact that Google put that in. And that reminds me, over the weekend, my sister was having a bit of a stressful time. And apparently she said out loud, actually she said to her Amazon Echo, tell her to save me now. And apparently the Echo responded very seriously, like, are you in trouble? What, you know, like with similar kind of messaging. So they're being responsible about people talking to these devices. You know, if it sounds like, you know, preventing either suicide or preventing danger in the home, that's great that both Google and Amazon are thinking about those things. So thank you, Alan, for sending that in. That's really amazing.
That's really interesting because my Google Home sometimes will pop up. I didn't realize that I said anything that sounded like the hotkey.
Right.
And it'll just pop up and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that yet. And I just, what were you listening to that made you think I was talking to you in the first place? I mean, I leave the mic on because we use it in the kitchen.
Right.
But sometimes it'll just pop up in conversations that I'm having with my husband, which is funny, always. It's always funny.
I mean, I imagine that's just a random part of your conversation matched close enough to the hot,
But now that I'm hearing Ron's anecdote and I hear this video mail anecdote from Alan, it's like...
I mean, this one's a little different, though. This
is true. This is a lot more...
And I really wish that I had spent the time to test this out because there's something to test out here. If this is in fact true... And it wasn't woken up from something that is recognizable as the known hot word. This points to a possibility that Google Home has potentially hidden hot words that it's also monitoring for.
This requires some testing. Yeah.
Because that's a feature of Google Home that we have not heard about yet, right?
Right.
Well, and so there's that aspect of it, which, you know, especially when we started getting features like Xbox listening for things in our living room, that there was something a little disconcerting. And there's also something kind of uncanny valley about a gadget that can offer that kind of assistance. Like, this is really fresh for us right now. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, I would like to kind of know, maybe see if there's some kind of disclosure on what other words, phrases, and actions are triggering microphones and speakers in my home.
If there are, yeah, if there is something built in.
What is triggering microphones and speakers in my home?
A bad thing. Well, I know, and thankfully, in this case, it's not for something like nefarious. We've got like some really funny comments in the chat, you know, like, these pretzels are making me thirsty, you know, like that being a trigger to sell me some cola or something like that.
Yeah, like where's the line and what is a trigger word or whatever. But I think when it comes to personal safety and safety within, like, those are important ones, and I'm glad that they haven't put in. I don't want a blog post on some, you know, site detailing the Easter eggs of those kind of stuff, because then they could be exploited and that sort of thing. You don't, you know, like, it's a fine line to go down, but I'm glad that, you know, it's a weird way to discover it, though. I mean, because clearly it's not, they didn't say OKG in mm-hmm. while they're playing their game, you know, they just said those words. And so clearly it's listening beyond the hot word.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
I think that's actually kind of a big deal if that's true. So folks in chat, and I will try and see. I'm actually afraid, though, to test it out, because I don't want to send that signal to my Google.
You don't
home.
Want that to be attached to your Google account.
Right. I mean,
at least in your search results. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hard to test.
Have you guys noticed, by the way, this is slightly related, in the Gboard app now, when you do voice dictation, it lets you know specifically or explicitly that you are being listened to by Google. Now.
Interesting.
So it's no longer just like the microphone mm-hmm. that shows up in the little.
It has a little disclaimer
portion.
Down there also.
It just has a disclaimer listening. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Interesting.
So
that's all. No, I think that's the step in the right direction. Again, right. As all of this stuff gets smarter, and for some of the other topics, as apps start playing with each other, I think that kind of disclosure is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. All right. Let's take a moment to thank one of our sponsors. And we want to thank Tracker for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, they're not under the couch, in the cupboard, or on the table. Your meeting's in 20 minutes and you can't find your keys. We've all been in that spot. You've been in those shoes. You need to find your keys. You need to get out the door. Can't find them. But now with Tracker, you never have to worry about losing things again. The Tracker Bravo is a coin-sized device constructed with anodized aluminum for the thinnest, most durable tracking. You can locate misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers in seconds. You just pair a tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's just that easy. Did you lose your phone? Press the button on your tracker device or ask your Amazon Echo, and your phone rings even when it's on silent. Your phone can track up to 10 devices at once. And you can customize two-way separation alerts so you're notified before you leave your item behind. And that separation alert is amazing. I've used it. It's a must-have. I have it on my keys. That's fantastic. With over 4.5 million devices shipped, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item shows up on a map even if it's miles away. The Tracker app records its last known location. When another Tracker user comes within a 100-foot range of your item, you will receive a GPS update of where your item is located. And with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no reason not to give it a try. Like I mentioned, I've got a tracker on my keys. I have not lost them since I put it on there. Cannot live without this. This is fantastic. If you're always losing things, pick up a Tracker Bravo. You'll never lose it again. So stop losing your stuff today. Go to thetracker.com and enter promo code AA to get a free Tracker Bravo with any order. That's thetracker.com, promo code AAA for your free Tracker Bravo with any order. And we thank Tracker for not only supporting All About Android, but helping me not lose my stuff.
Thank you, because Ron was losing his stuff left, right, and center, and I just had to hear about it after the fact. Yeah. It's just so annoying.
It saved us. It's...
Appreciate it. All right, let's check out some hardware. So a few weeks ago, stepping into our time machine, you may remember there was this event called Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? I'm sorry. Trigger warning. And there was a lot of hardware announced there, including Huawei's P10 phone, which we definitely talked about on this show. But Juan, you've spent some time with the P10 and you have a review up. Tell us a little bit about it.
I like it. It's really nice. It's pretty and it's shimmery and it's shiny.
You're hugging it. it. He's hugging it on camera, y'all.
We missed the hug.
I was just looking for it lightly against my face.
Oh, is it? Is it blue? Is it blue?
Yeah, so it's this is their hyper cut diamond texture backplate, which it really does do what they say it's supposed to do, which is provide a shimmery surface which is nearly impervious to fingerprint smudges. So what? As you like, you molest the back of your phone with
or just use it in every normal everyday use.
I mean, you should see my Chromebook right now is disgusting, so I understand that.
No, it's this like epic battle in the comments on our videos all the time, like, you know, oh, you need to clean your phones off more when you're shooting reviews. It's like, no, I'm actually reviewing this phone. I'm not shooting a commercial for this phone. That's this is fair. What it looks like just as I'm handling it to shoot video of it. So I would say mission accomplished for that design feature on the really blue version of the Huawei P10. But overall, it's definitely an iterative year for Huawei. A lot of people are probably going to point to this doesn't feel like a radical departure from last year's P9. A lot of people are going to feel that some of the stuff is a little stale because it's about bringing tech from the Mate 9 down into the smaller form factor phone. But I think there's a lot of subtle and little improvements that I think elevate this up to a phone that's a lot nicer than just the sum of its parts.
Juan, will we be seeing this phone in the U.S.?
So right now we have no confirmation on that. The interesting thing is we did eventually get the Mate. So there is potential that maybe mm-hmm. we'll just get a later release for the P. We know we'll be going to Canada. So there is North American distribution for this phone. Just we might not get it here in the USA. I know a lot of people are hoping that we'll see some of this tech make it to an Honor. So like an Honor mm-hmm. 9, mm-hmm. Something like that. You know, the Honor 8 was a killer, very popular phone for our reviews last year at the premium mid-ranger price point. So if we could get some of this P10 kit in a phone somewhere around that $400 to $500 price point, I know a lot of people who would be excited about that.
So in terms of camera hardware and capabilities, how would you rate this against maybe Huawei's flagship or maybe even the Honor 8?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting part of the conversation is I would consider this to be Huawei's beginning of the year flagship. So the P10 and the P10 Plus are sort of like an S7 and an S7 Edge. And then later in the year, you've got a Mate, which is going to do battle against a Note. So when we start looking at other manufacturers, I'm consistently impressed with what Huawei is able to do with high silicon making their own chipsets. This is maybe one of the most, if not the most powerful phone we've reviewed so far. And we're probably not going to be seeing anything in North America that can rival it until we start getting Qualcomm 835 parts out there.
Do you mean this in comparison to like the LG G6, which is...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when we look at the LG G6, the chipset that they're using is the same one that's in the Pixel. It's the Snapdragon 821. Not only just in terms of benchmarks, but even just navigating the UI, loading apps, multitasking, things like that. This phone is the P10 is formidable in what it's capable of doing. And then also the camera stuff. It's formidable.
Good vocab. I love it when we have big vocab on the show. Anyway, go on.
But you know, at the same time, it's got some other really fun features too. I've been a huge fan of this Leica Huawei partnership. Mm. Some of the most stunning and photographic images I've seen from any phone with this dual sensor and a unique take on a dual sensor where it's not like a zoom or a wide angle, both sensors working in tandem. Deliver just stunning detail and clarity for a smartphone camera.
Are these the two sensors that the one that shoots in black and white, the one that shoots in color, like on the Honor 8?
Exactly. Okay. So the Honor 8 was borrowing parts from the P9, and the P9 was that first generation sensor. This one, the resolution on the monochrome sensor climbs up, and we get optical image stabilization. A lot of these terms that photo fans are really going to be excited about. And so while it's not, you know, I'm always hesitant to use a word like intuitive, because I don't really think any piece of software is really intuitive. But this is probably one of the steeper learning curves to really get a feel for the camera. But once you invest a little time, I'm consistently impressed with what this camera system can produce.
Does this phone have the new EMUI?
It has the newest EMUI.
So we got EMUI not 5.0, the one that comes with AppDrawer and organization.
Oh, so 5.0 gave us back our app drawer, right, and it fixed our notification shade. And so Honor 8, if you were on an Honor 8, you know, I know a lot of people who were very happy to see those changes come. This is EMUI 5.1. I don't know that people would really be apt to see any significant design change. There aren't a ton of new features that are going to call attention to that software platform. But really, everything about this phone is about refinement. So it's about refining the resource management. It's about refining the garbage collection. It's about refining the multitasking situation. And then they also did a partnership with GoPro. So the new gallery app for the Huawei has a little GoPro plugin so that you can quickly cut up video and photos if you want to do sort of little auto awesome style videos that you can send to family and friends, some fun stuff like that. But it's a screamer. It's one of the fastest Android phones I've ever used. And I think it'll be an interesting position for Huawei because it looks like it's going to be one of the less expensive, starting with the base model P10. When you put it up against the pricing that we just found out for the G6, the pricing that we're assuming for an S8, it lacks a few things like water resistance, but it makes a compelling argument for being stinking powerful, having a great camera, and coming in about 100 euro cheaper than its next closest competitor.
Have you been using it on any of like the US carriers at all?
Yeah. I popped in an AT&T SIM. I was using it on Project Fi out during MWC. But back in the States, I've got it on AT&T LTE, and I've been getting fine coverage. I haven't found anything where it seems like it's dropping signal in any way. Well, around Los Angeles, you're going to drop signal. You cross the 101 or the 405. but I haven't found anything that would, you know, make me concerned about performance or anything like that. So again, I know, if we can't get the P10 here, I'm really hoping for a strong Honor showing.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering, what if this comes to Amazon and maybe somebody wants to buy it? So,
but I had good experiences with the Mate 9 too. Before we had the official U.S. launch, they seemed like they already had GSM carriers here in the United States in mind. I seriously doubt we'll ever see this on Sprint or Verizon.
No.
But for AT&T and T-Mobile, I've had perfectly fine experiences with signal and connectivity.
Nice.
I guess the last question is, how much is this thing?
It's 649 euro to start. So like we just saw with the LG G6, it's about 100 euro cheaper. I'm not sure what pricing is going to be regionally for other markets. So the Canadian pricing, I think, will help give us a clue if we do eventually see a United States launch.
Yeah, we got the, you mentioned a couple of times, the LG G6 pricing, I guess, was released, at least for the European market, 750 euros for that, which is kind of in between.
Yeah.
Well, the iPhone and the Google Pixel XL is much more of that, around 900 euros. And, you know, there's
cheaper
plenty
than
lower
the HTC U Ultra.
Cheaper than that. More expensive than the S7 Edge, you know, so right in the middle. Okay. Excellent. Thanks for,
cool. Thank you, Juan.
Thanks for that. We're going to get another review from you in a little bit, but before that, this is weird.
A little taste of weirdness. And this is good timing, because actually at the top of the show, I talked about my friend who, moved from iOS to the Pixel and now moving back to iOS. And well, now his problems he might have a solution thanks to Kickstarter. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the eye on iPhone 7 Plus, if you're having trouble deciding between iOS and Android, now you can have both. The Eye, which is an iPhone 7 case that is an Android phone, passed its 100K funding goal with 31 days to go. So basically what it is it's a case that goes around the iPhone 7 with a 5-inch display. It shares the speaker and mic and camera of the iPhone, but has that 5-inch display on the back of it that is running Android. So it's a 5-inch AMOLED display with a micro SD, a headphone jack, IR blaster, two SIM slots, and it's all just for $189.
Two SIM slots? Does that mean three SIM slots in total?
I guess.
Including the iPhone, that would be three SIM slots total. And it's going to be shipping by August or September. So this is real. That's a phone that is both Android and iOS. It's crazy.
And it's running Nougat. They have the N on there. So, yeah.
This is curiosity making.
The iPhone can take the battery power from the Android. So the iPhone is, or rather the Android is the leech in this scenario.
So, okay, but if it's leeching and it's
No, you're right. So the iPhone is the leech, right? Because it's taking the battery power from the Android.
Well, I was going to ask, does any of the doze mode modifications come
Oh, that's
in
a good question. Oh, that's a good point,
Because then we can finally show those Apple people what these phones are all about. Possibly. Maybe.
It does have wireless charging, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and bringing wireless charging to the iPhone, that'll be appreciated. But who do we think something like this is for?
I have no idea.
Three people. And for the rest of us, it's novelty.
At least over 1,200 people think it's for them.
Right now it's for 1,219 people.
And I would like
my wife is a two-phone... Is a two-phone user. She's got her personal Android and she's got a work iPhone and she's not really the biggest fan of Apple. And I'm wondering, like, if something like this could be implemented to play nice with corporate IT, could this be a robust enough solution to really get your Android fix? Or, I mean, because, like, looking at some of the demo video stuff, like, it's obviously not done. But it's a curious, like,
a little choppy.
If that's something like you could rely on, like, could she put her Samsung down, slap this on the back of her work iPhone, and, you know, just flip it over whenever she needs to get her personal stuff done? That could be pretty.
Have to be in iOS mode.
Turn it over. No. That's when you're messaging. The iPhone is there for messaging, and then everything
sick
else.
Sick of my green bubble.
Jeez. Anyway, it's neat. I like seeing crazy hardware like this, so I'm glad that it's getting the support on Kickstarter.
I love crazy Kickstarters. That's what keeps me alive on Kickstarter, is I'll just back the weirdest looking stuff.
Should back this, although you don't have an iPhone to put it in.
No, I don't want to back it.
I mean, 31 days to go, and it's well past its goal. So,
this is not a good time for me to be buying things. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, understood. Understood. All right, it's time to get into the other kind of hardware.
Hey, buddy, so we could have actually put in Project Jacquard in this segment.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We could have, but there really wasn't any top of the show news. Yeah, I had a hard time with that top segment, so I was like, yeah, what? But you're right. It probably could have gone here. Anyways.
Well, anyway, one other little new wearable that we have, it's not really that little, and it costs a lot of money. Speaking of things that cost money, $1,650 to be exact, but you are getting a Tag Heuer luxury smartwatch. This is the connected modular 45. It's running Android Wear 2.0, and like the name states, it's modular. You can swap out the straps, you can swap out the lugs, and you can swap out the main chassis, I guess is what it's called, the main watch. The interesting thing to note about this is that you're not just swapping out smartwatch modules, you're also swapping out mechanical watch modules. So if you've got quite a bit of money, if I had a lot of money to do this, I probably would. You can choose to swap in your mechanical watch for, you know, the nighttime because you want to look stylish and put on the smartwatch while you're out hiking for the day, if that's your sort of cup of tea.
Or vice versa, if you don't want the smartwatch out hiking. Yeah. You don't want to be dependent on a battery. You just want the old standard watch.
That's also true. It's got a 1.39-inch AMOLED round display, 2.5-millimeter sapphire crystal glass. It's inside of a titanium case, though you can get a variety of different coverings. So, you know, if you want rose gold or maybe you want something that's a little... I actually went to the event last night for this, and they had, like, this... I want to say plasticky, but I don't know if that's what the material was. It looked like a sporty version of it. Anyway.
If it's plastic, they probably don't call it the plasticky band.
No, the actual chassis.
That's a technical term, Jason. That's actually, it's the plasticky band.
We think you're going to love our plasticky band.
No, actually, the bands felt really nice. Silicone and leather. Also, inside, it's running an Intel Atom Z34XX processor, just like the last Tag Heuer connected watch. One of the few Android Wear smartwatches running Intel hardware on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's not usually we see Qualcomm. inside mm-hmm. these little smartwatches, like yeah. in the new LG watches.
Right. I mean, Qualcomm has a Snapdragon processor that's designed
just
for Android
Wear. Now. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 4 gigs of RAM, so your standard Wi-Fi, GPS, up to 50 meters of water. So this thing, by the way, super heavy.
Yeah. The first one was pretty heavy, too.
It was, but it feels like a very standard piece of jewelry.
You know, better
like a dense,
much?
You know, this yeah. I spent a lot of money on this. I mean, this is quality made.
For them sort of really trumping up this notion of like Swiss design, those pieces have to click together as if they're, you know, completely locked in place.
Right.
I'll be curious to see, you know, like I know a lot of people, again, you know, we were talking about a $350 jacket. Now we're talking about a $1,600 smartwatch. But I wonder if you buying into a system means that if you're sort of the male side of the Louis Vuitton branding arm, that then, you know, like, oh, I just want to swap out a watch band, or I just want to get a new face on it, that over time helps improve the cost to style ratio as this watch ages. Like that, there's something I can't quite put my thumb on it, but there's something really smart about the way that they're making this sort of an explodable watch for you to then put it together the way that you want to. This isn't my style. This isn't my fashion. So it feels a little alien to me looking at what they've arrived at.
Well, and I think that they've recognized that smartwatches as a timepiece, as like an heirloom timepiece, a smartwatch.
That's what this is supposed to be, by the way. This is supposed to be an heirloom.
Right. But I mean, the smart watch aspect of it, like the technology will gimp it long term.
Oh yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean.
Yeah.
So at least this way, you can take what you have, and at some point when that smartwatch, the technology aspect of it is no longer any good, which it will be there eventually. The design of the outside can be as good as it possibly can be. The inside is still limited by the fact that it's running today's technology.
It's like taking
and
the
so
engine.
So you can swap it out and put
car.
In a mechanical yeah. thing,
this,
and you've got
this,
an heirloom.
This reminds me of an effort. And sorry to the folks who don't like it when I talk about pinball, but. In,
I love it.
Don't apologize. It's who you are, Ron.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the 1990s, when pinball was starting to fade in popularity, there was an effort made to make a machine where you just would buy the cabinet and you would swap out the insides the same way, so that you wouldn't need to spend all the money on a new pinball machine every time. You could just buy the new play field and slide it in. Unfortunately, that didn't take off, but it's that same concept, you know, similar to, you know, I remember back in the 90s with beige box Windows PCs. I, you know, hypothetically, you could just have a machine and swap out the motherboard and keep upgrading and just, you know, keep building from there. Ultimately, though, that still doesn't work. I mean, name one device or name one piece of electronics that you swap out for the new one. Like,
it's a good point.
I get it. I get the concept, but it's been tried and proven to not be something users want.
But this works with mechanical watches, so it's not just smart. It's not limited just to the smartwatch lineup. So if you really decide that you don't like having a Tag Heuer smartwatch, you just buy a new one.
However, go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, actually, this is funny because like the last time you guys had me on, we were talking about modular phones.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like whenever we describe something modular in the consumer electronics space, as geeks, we kind of have to have like a comprehensive knowledge of all the different permutations and putting pieces on and slapping Moto mods and things like that. And I kind of feel like this is a safety play from Tag to give you the ability to customize the watch, make it the device that you want. I wonder how much they're really considering, like, you know, how often people are going to be switching those pieces out or swapping those parts around.
Well, there are 500 design combos. So there's
different pieces.
And you can make your own watch faces with a Tag Heuer. There's a watch face maker that comes on the software that's on the watch.
Right. I kind of feel like, don't you think like someone's going to get this system, put a couple of the pieces together that they want, and then that's pretty much how they're going to rock that watch. Like then it's
forever.
Done. Pie's baked. And then when a tech piece needs to be replaced or and probably actually serviced by a Louis Vuitton service center or something, probably less like someone's regularly on, you know, popping a mechanical piece on every other day or twice a day or something like that, mm-hmm. that then that's their style piece. That's their fashion piece. And then they'll adjust it when they need to adjust something, not like, you know, because like Jaime on Pocket Now, he's like, totally in love with taking watch bands for the Frontier, the Galaxy S3, the Gear S3. And like every day it's like, well, I'm going to go for a run. So I've got to put my sport band on. And now that I'm home, I'm going to have a dress up shirt. So I'm going to put a nice band on. And you're like, I don't think people really do that. I think people wear the watch and then just get on with their
life. No, people do that. I think we're actually people do that because you describe it. I mean, I hope Jaime forgives me for this, but my father does this.
Does Jaime know your father?
No, but I don't want to make Jaime feel like, I understand where, well, he's coming from aesthetically.
So it's funny because, you know, like we're going to be talking about the Huawei watch, so I'm wearing that. But in front of me, you know, if I want to dress up, I've got a Scoggin. I've got an OG Huawei watch. I've got a Pebble for when I'm wearing.
Jeez, would you just have the ready to show off on camera?
Yeah, I came prepped for your show because I like your show and I didn't want to like drag it down.
See, Juan is good.
None of those things am I ever adjusting the individual watch. It's like, hey, man, today's a hoodie day. I'm going to wear my Pebble, or, you know, I'm really going to throw on a suit jacket and kind of dress this up a little bit. Let's put on the Scoggin. That's, you know,
what a
just
sweet
like old
life we live,
school
by
watches.
The way.
Except well, I'm envisioning.
But I have a collection of old watches too, you know, like that's kind of just, you know, I'm not going to wear a Casio if I'm going to a dinner party, and I'm not
going
to
wear it when you're going beatboxing.
Well, my friend has one of those. My friend has one of those gold plated Casios that he does wear to a dinner party. So, you know, you got to catch up there.
But that's different.
Does he live in Brooklyn?
He lives in Mill Valley.
Oh.
Fair enough.
But, wow. This went deep. This went deeper than I thought it was going to go.
I just classified everybody based on the type of watch they wear, by the way, in that entire segment. So I apologize to everybody for my assumptions.
Few pieces of jewelry I'm allowed to wear, so you can't. I mean, you're right to.
You're allowed to wear whatever you want to wear.
Look at my watch and like, oh.
If you
want to
wear hoops.
Wear hoops.
You wear your hoops.
Speaking of wearing hoops, no, not at all. Speaking of wearing hoops, but you are wearing the Huawei Watch 2. You've mentioned it a few times. Tell us a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
How long have you had this? And what do you think?
Yeah. What do you think?
So, yeah, a couple of weeks. I like it better than I thought I was going to.
Oh.
So let's start off with the positive. This actually has been a nicer watch than when I saw the press briefing and they started saying like thermoplastic. That made me really nervous as to what we were going to get. I think the biggest problem with this as a product isn't really the product. It's that they called it the Huawei Watch 2 when the original Huawei Watch is such a nice looking piece of tech to put on your wrist. Yeah, it's just such a stylish
piece. What do you wear that one with, Juan?
So the Huawei Watch, I'll sort of like dress up casual or maybe even like, you know, slacks and a nice shirt, not full on suit and tie kind of stuff. But this is not, the Huawei Watch 2 is completely not a sequel to the Huawei Watch.
Yeah, fair
enough. They're completely different animals. And I think that's one of the biggest problems isn't necessarily the product itself. It's maybe it should have just been a watch sport or a watch rugged or whatever buzzword they want to use in there. It's chunky. It's got a nice feel in terms of the plasticky casing running around the side. But
see, he said plasticky too. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's no. So you were saying plasticky band, and it's funny because I'm showing this, and I don't know if you can see on camera, but my webcam is really saturating colors right now. But I'm wearing a blue sport band because the watch strap that comes with the Huawei Watch 2 is one of the worst straps I've ever come across for any watch.
So are you wearing a third-party watch right now? I'm sorry, or a different?
Yes, I'm going to plug Barton Band.
Oh, okay.
Not going to, as stylishly as you were holding the mug, I can't, because it's just a it's like a $15 sport silicone watch strap. But these had to go, because these are terrible. So for such an expensive piece of kit, one of the things that comes in contact with your skin, and if anyone out there has issues with like contact dermatitis, you're going to want to get rid of these.
Remember the Fitbits when they used to make people break out in rashes? Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that can happen if you don't clean your bands. So clean your watch bands.
The coating on the first batch of LG G Watch R's flared up on my skin.
Ooh.
And it was on.
It's okay. So, you can call it by its technical name of Guatcher. It's fine.
Guatcher.
Sounds like a Godzilla competitor.
It's the bass player for Gore, right?
That's, yes, you know, exactly. Exactly. So overall, you know, for the price. It's hard to compare the Huawei watch to the Tag Heuer, but
yeah. So I mean, we're talking in that $300 to $350 ballpark. It's a tough play at that. We've got water resistance, we've got LTE, we've got NFC, we've got Wi-Fi. It's a fully, you know, it's an Android device that you wear on your wrist, and it can almost exist completely on its own. I am very cautious to say whether or not something's worth it for the price. I absolutely believe there is an audience for this. It's rugged, it's sporty, but it's also simple. If you don't like that kind of G-Shock style for a sort of a fitness-focused wearable or something a little bit more durable, then this might satisfy your particular style if you want something a little simpler. So I can't pinpoint exactly who this is for. I'm a bigger fan of the original Huawei watch, but I know there are people out there that are going to dig this. It's just whether or not they can actually find it and whether or not they can try it out and see if they like it.
Yeah, I really liked the original Huawei watch. And then when I saw this, I was kind of let down by what I saw from a distance. So I'd love to see it in person.
Doesn't it, the press photos were terrible, too. Yeah. I mean, it made it look cheap. It doesn't feel as cheap as it looks once you get rid of the watch band. This is the first time that, you know, I've had an experience to really spend some time with Android Wear 2.0. So there's a lot of positive in that I like Google's software updates. That's not necessarily reflective of this actual watch hardware, though. It's just I really feel this was a branding misstep more than anything else. Saying that it's the sequel to a watch that we're all really big fans of, I think, was a small gaffe.
Interesting stuff.
One step backward for the watch.
For the watch.
One giant leap for
watch.
One step backward for the watch. One giant leap for
watch kind.
Tag Heuer.
Yeah, there we go. Yay, there we go. That works. All right, we're going to take a quick break and thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is LegalZoom. And actually, this is National Small Business Month at LegalZoom.com. It's here. Timing couldn't be better. Approval rates for business loans are up. So is consumer confidence. Just a great time right now for this. But it takes a lot more than just good timing to launch a successful business. That's why LegalZoom created a free business startup kit. Part of being an entrepreneur is utilizing the right resources to help you succeed, the tools that you have at hand. You can't be an expert at everything, try as you might. So download your free startup kit today. You'll get educational ebooks and LegalZoom discounts to save money setting up your business, because LegalZoom covers all sorts of services around setting up your business and helping you manage some of the legal aspects of your business. Plus, you can save thousands of dollars through LegalZoom's partner offers to help with financing, marketing, as well as day-to-day operations. Basically, all the things that you're going to need to run a successful business. There's no obligation, just a lot of really great resources. And as you know, LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but they are dedicated to making life easier for business owners. And even if this isn't speaking to you specifically, you know, LegalZoom has a ton of services that apply even to your personal life, like setting up a will or whatever. Just take a look at all of their services and you'll see what I mean. Whether you're thinking of starting a business or you're already running one, go to LegalZoom.com/startup during National Small Business Month. And you can take advantage of a free business startup kit and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com/startup. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. All right. And without further ado, it's time for some app news.
All righty. So online payments is nothing new. In fact, me dodging the bill when I go out to dinner with friends is nothing new either. But what is new is that now I can pay those friends back for picking up the tab through the Gmail app, which is now integrating payments using Android Pay. So you can add an attachment, select pay money, then attach the dollar amount and send. Basically, any user can receive. No Gmail is required. And when you think about it, Gmail's got over a billion users, so almost everybody's on it.
Yeah.
But with no need for
everyone owes someone.
Yeah, exactly. But with no need for a Google account, this could be a huge competition for Venmo, Square Cash, PayPal, all the other kind of services that people use to pay each other back when they dodge the bill. Currently, it's U.S. only for now, but that makes sense because I feel like we're the ones who are dodging the bill the most. So good
the
job
Android
on Google.
Users?
Yeah. No, just Americans, U.S., that's all. So, yeah, so this is nice to be able to do it on Android through the Gmail app. That's pretty cool. You could do this in Gmail on the web for a while, but having it on the go, that's that much easier.
I can't wait for the inevitable email chains to come out between all my friends. Hey, everybody, remember that we had brunch on Saturday? And everybody,
you remember that?
And do you remember everybody got Benedict, eggs Benedict? I need you guys to pay for that, please.
I was just going to say, whenever we go out for a movie night, it's, you know, like you always have that like, oh, what is it? The Arc Light, it's like $15. I've got like a 20. Can you break it? Uh-huh. And I hope this makes this easier. I worry that it's going to make it more complicated to get
every money. Time I see those emails, I'm going to be like, oh, God, she's asking for money again.
I always say that the point of adulthood is when you stop itemizing the bill when it comes and everybody just splits it.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever. Just pay it. Thank you. Yes. And you know what? Sometimes I even say that to my friends. Let's all be adults here.
Yep, exactly. And like when you get the one person's like, well, I didn't drink anything. And
well, I'm sorry, you don't drink. That's not my problem. We all drank wine.
So I mean, but it's also like part of the grown-up thing because like I don't drink heavy, you know, like if I have a bourbon for the course of a whole evening. But then I'm the guy who's always like, hey, do you guys want to split like six different apps? Because like,
oh, I do that too. Right. That's why people hate taking me out.
You drink, you do you. I'll do me. I do me, yep. And we'll be good. But we're gonna have a lot of food and a lot of drink at this table, and it's on.
It's gonna cost it's a lot of money. Just accept it, and we're all splitting.
And We're gonna split it all, thanks to Google, Google and Gmail.
Well, here's another thing that may require not. Man, I was really trying to segue that, but you know what? It's just not working.
It's okay.
So we're gonna start this over. Today on Flow, segues don't work.
Yeah,
Google's released its Slack competitor, Hangouts Chat, which, to be quite honest with you, I really would just like to see it used before we get any more announcements about any more messaging suites coming from Google's camp. But anyway, this is a Slack competitor. So you are supposed to use this with coworkers, supposedly, or your teams that you work together with, perhaps on podcasts or art collectives.
Perhaps.
The Hangouts Chat is integrated with G Suite, and it includes threaded conversations and rooms for discussion, just like Slack do. Also includes bots inside the chat, like a meet bot for finding scheduling times that work for all people, which is nice because most people probably don't know their schedules. Let's be real. I don't. Also, it includes Hangouts Meet, which this is what I'm very interested in, just knowing video teleconferencing is not a stable thing. It's finicky and it never seems to work. Every single company I've been at has had issues with this. This one will allow Hangouts Meet will allow up to 30 participants using WebRTC. So there'll be no extra install, which is good to hear. And every meeting will have a phone number that callers who are calling in from a phone can just call in.
Which is so important to have.
Very
important
for people.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're in transit, for instance, on the bus and you just want to listen into the meeting, you can easily do that without having to use data, actually.
Yep.
Google did confirm on Twitter that the consumer version of Hangouts isn't going anywhere, so we will continue to have a very fragmented messaging life in this Google world, and we're here to support you in any way that you need it, any way at all. We're here for you.
Well, wasn't that tweet just a little frustrating, though? Now we've got our consumer version with Allo and Duo, and we've got our corporate version, and then the immediate question is, so what's happening with Hangouts for consumers? And the reply is, oh, it's still there.
Yep.
I agree with you, Juan. But after hearing what Eric Schmidt said earlier.
Did you hear the Schmidt that Schmidt said?
That's good. Yeah. That's a segment.
I like that.
The Schmidt that
But isn't this also, you know, like, so one of the things that I think Slack
Schmidt
is going to have.
Yes.
Slack is going to have some momentum to carry them through this transition for a while. Because I know, like, you know, there were a number of articles that I read that were talking about Google's making Slack a competitor. And I kind of think Google, for me, in running, you know, the production that we do, and then for the people that I know that, you know, sort of operate within businesses, they're not going to trust something from Google right now. Like, we need to see something stable. We need to see something that's evolved. We need to see something vetted.
They ain't Microsoft.
Slack has done that.
They ain't Microsoft. What you doing?
Right? So, if I were at Slack right now, if I were using Slack, I definitely wouldn't be too worried about the near term. Like, I think there's plenty of room for,
Plus, doesn't
Google
Slack integrate better with other third parties like GitHub and...
Slack has got all those apps and bots and things like that that support it. And it's tough because Google is making a huge play at the enterprise. They renamed Google Apps to G Suite. It's kind of like, remember a couple of years ago when the Google Play Store and the Google Play Developer section got that like spit and polish kind of, they made it much nicer. Now, all of a sudden, Google Apps are much nicer as well, too. If you're an IT administrator, if you're someone who manages a domain, you've seen this. The tools are much better now. They're a lot more easier to set up, a lot more easier to maintain. And this is just expanding that. And the thing is that Slack is great. I love Slack. I'm a huge fan of Slack. And I think it needs to exist as an open kind of platform in between. But so many organizations would never adopt Slack for that reason. And they would adopt something from Google.
Yeah, so. Especially if they're already G Suite subscribers, you know, already paying for that. And
I'm definitely looking at this from like the, you know, like my wife's work, where there are these sort of mixed teams of Microsoft Office and Google Docs and Suite. And so, I mean, something like Slack makes a lot of sense for being able to tie all of those loose ends together. But yeah, I hadn't thought about the opposite of, you know, you want to button everything down and keep it locked up nice and tight, then the Google solution probably will work better.
How about a little bit of breaking news?
In the meadow sings a song of satisfaction.
I want a Snickers.
I do too. I've got a Snickers waiting for me at home.
Oh my God.
Just stashed away for
an emergency. That's the breaking news, by the way.
Yep, that's it. Anyway, so no, that is not it. Thanks to Wade County and chat. I missed this today. Apparently this happened and I missed it. Google has another messaging app.
No!
Kind of.
At this point, they're just trolling us. At this point, this is just like completely...
Somebody check the Play Store and make sure there's no new messaging app while we were talking about messaging apps.
This is maybe a little bit different. It's done by Google's Area 120, which is essentially their 20% kind of experimental...
The side project.
Side project area. It's called Supersonic Fun Voice Messenger.
Oh my gosh.
Which does not sound like a Google app, but... That's because it kind of isn't.
Is it from the Japan office?
Exactly.
I was just going to make a translation joke, and I didn't know if that would be too randy for you.
Oh, I went for it. It's okay.
You did, and bless you, sir. Bless you.
So, this is an evening show, you know.
Yeah, it's an evening show. We're drinking here. Okay, coffee, water. But you know, whatever. Supersonic Messenger.
Supersonic Messenger Extreme.
Apparently converts your voice message to text.
That's amazing. Okay. That's exactly.
It says what differentiates is it detects that a word could be represented by an emoji, and then it changes it to one.
That's what.
Holy cow!
Chatbots do. That's what Gboard does.
Getting rid of language.
So,
oh my god, that's amazing. So we're all just going to speak in hieroglyphics now.
Oh my gosh, is that what's going to happen? Is that how our graphic novel is going to be written with emojis?
We're going back to hieroglyphics. I
love it.
I don't know.
Hey, if you study the hieroglyphics of the aliens, you'll know that they are
used. This is how you get in with the aliens.
Galactically, intergalactically.
So, okay. All right.
I've been watching a lot of alien conspiracy stuff lately. Don't mind me.
Are you about the Greys or the lizard people? Should we sidetrack, like really jump the rails on this podcast, or should we try?
Oh, jeez.
No.
Let's back on the rails.
But we can move on to the next news item.
Yes, we
can. About Waze and Spotify.
That's right. And this will be really quick because there's not a whole lot here. But I did find it interesting that Waze and Spotify are working closely together with a new update that actually brings Spotify controls into the Waze app. And I don't think vice versa. I doubt that you find Waze in your Spotify, but I do think that there are settings in both apps that you can turn on to allow for this integration. Apparently,
hey, you got Waze in my Spotify.
Exactly.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter.
I'm not sure which is peanut butter or which is chocolate, but there you go. And I don't know. I guess I kind of found it interesting that it was a Spotify relationship and not Play Music. Come on.
And that it's not on Android Auto yet, because who needs Waze on Android Auto? I don't need real-time updates from the public about the accident that happened 3 miles ahead. No, I have to wait until Google gets the information and pushes it to me on Google Maps.
Are you a Waze user?
Okay.
I would be a Waze user if I could use it safely with Android Auto on my smartphone.
Safely with Android Auto.
Well, and also, I mean, like, between Maps and Waze, I do think Maps is easier to use when you're not supposed to be looking at your phone while operating a motor
vehicle. Yes, but I wish I could use, you know, when I'm stuck on the freaking Bay Bridge, I want to know why I'm stuck on the Bay Bridge.
Did you just say...
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just say what I think you just said?
I said freaking.
Okay.
It was close.
Don't like, worry, it was the FCC, I'm gonna,
it was borderline.
It was really convincing though.
It was borderline.
You could have.
Okay.
You could have gone.
This is a silly little story, but the thing that actually made me really excited about this is the potential for companies to work together with information. I mentioned in our emails back and forth, I'm a couple episodes behind on your show, but you did a really great roundup on web apps, you know, a partial. Ron, help me out. What is that called when you don't download an app?
Progressive web apps. PWA.
Progressive web apps.
Yep. Even if you don't have a system where that's native to the operating system, if app developers start sharing their data and sharing their resources back and forth, because I'm all for it. I want to get rid of installed apps. I'm ready for just more data and more services to be sort of streamlined through this process instead of touch square, get colors. This is something really promising. I think this is a really exciting first baby step into that kind of territory.
Yeah, and the integration looks pretty nice. Be nice to get a little bit more of this going
be
on.
Be nice to get it on Android Auto. Yeah, that's all I'm
going
to say.
Very nice.
You promised us
Los Angelino,
years ago.
I will join you
years
in
ago,
my
they told us it would be coming to Android Auto. Not on Android Auto.
Sometimes they don't follow through. We'll see when that happens. Maybe they'll have an announcement at Google I.O.
Yeah, 2 years later.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a break before we get into the arena and thank the sponsor of today's episode. That's ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you're looking for the right people to, you know, bring into your business, you need to know where to post your job to find the best candidates. And I'm telling you, they're everywhere on the internet. It's a matter of finding them. That's the challenge. Posting your job in one place isn't always enough to find quality candidates because, like I said, they're everywhere. You want to reach them all. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And with ZipRecruiter, you can do that easily. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites. That is including social media networks that you might want to also post to, like Facebook and Twitter. And it's all done with a single click. It can't get any easier. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. You just post one time, and then you'll watch as candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails. No more, you know, managing all those calls to your office. You can quickly screen the candidates, rate them as they come in, and then hopefully hire the right person and fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. That's because it works. Right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit. One more time, to try free, go ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android. Without further ado, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, last week's poll, bit.ly/AAAVote 308. And I'm looking at it for the first time because I like to be surprised. And with 43.3% of the vote, Tunity wins.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Good job. Good job.
Excellent, finally. 43.3%. Let's see here. Second place is Shortcutter, 24.3%. Third place is AppStats, 20.5%. For some reason, I thought AppStats was going to do better than that. I thought it was just a lot of really good information. And in fourth place, Good Dogs, I'm sorry, Flo.
It's okay.
That was at 11.9%. Apparently, people don't like cute dogs.
Some people are cat people. That's the problem.
No, that's true. That's true.
But thanks to Wade County in the chat room with that win for Jason. That shakes up. We got a shake up in the stats
here. Oh, my goodness. No way.
For the arena. So through 10 weeks, I am currently sitting in first, tied with the guests with 31 points. Jason, you've moved up to second. Remember last week you were in last.
That's all it takes is for me to go up to second?
You've got 24 points, and Flo is now sitting in last with 21 points.
Wait a minute. Jason's third.
No, second. I'm tied with guests.
I see what you mean.
So we swapped places. Okay.
So there you go.
Still, I'll take it.
So you take it. And Flo, if you win this week, you're in the game as well. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's true. So doesn't take much, obviously.
It's going to be a lot of jumping, leapfrogging. So.
All right. Fantastic.
Good. This thing's interesting. So. Yep.
So
I get to go first?
You get to go first. Yeah.
Well, with all the talk of daylight savings, I know some of us are really annoyed because we're tired. I know I am. I call it daylight savings jet lag. But the nice thing about it is we get more sunlight. And one way to know how late the sun is going down is by downloading my app, which is called The Golden Hour.
Is that it?
The Golden
that
Hour.
That is the Golden Hour.
So this is the Golden Hour, which is a cute little icon, by the way. It's just a little Android head. But all it does is it shows you the times of light. So whether maybe you're a photographer and you like to shoot with natural lighting, this will tell you the best time when you can go do that. It'll tell you the Golden Hour, which is 7:07 a.m. today, then 7:58 a.m. today. It'll tell you when we'll be seeing sunset, which is actually happening right now in 2 minutes. We're having the sun setting, which is really nice.
Used to that.
It'll tell you the duration of the civil, nautical, and astronomical twilights, which are called, as I just said, I actually don't know what those mean, guys. I'm trying to sell this to you. It's really simple and easy to use. You can set up a couple locations, so maybe you just want to know like the time or what's going on in Paris where the sunset was at 6:53. So, you know, there's sunset a little bit earlier than ours. That's a darnish. You can set up notifications for upcoming sunrises, sunsets, and golden hours in case maybe you just need to get out of the house and go set up your shot. And of course, this works offline without an internet connection, so you can take it with you camping or hiking or whatever. Well, I guess camping, because that's where you'd be sleeping in the woods.
Golden hour is the best time for photos.
And it's free.
This is great timing, because just this past weekend I was with my niece and it was right around dusk, and I was explaining to her the concept of golden hour, or as I learned it, magic hour, mm-hmm. which is the perfect mm-hmm. time to film. And it's like that perfect moment. And I was explaining it to her and she looked at me and she's like, "Did you go to film school?" And I said, "No." And then we kind of trailed off from there.
So. and then she sort of drifted
off into the distance. Yeah. Now, I've been on a few film sets where this actually would have come in handy.
Yeah.
If you friend film, you know, I'm the sound guy.
That's
so
very
I
LA of you, by the way.
It's a thing that we do. So
you don't capture the sound of the sunset.
You know what? You'd be surprised how little audio you can get on a good sunset. It's
no matter how close you get to the sunset with a boom mic.
Does that bother anybody, by the way, that the sun doesn't make noise as it rises and maybe getting too philosophical?
Whoa. that's mind-blowing. You want the sun to make noise?
The sun also rises quietly.
It's literally mind-blowing.
That's really... Could you imagine that every day you'd be like, "Oh my God, what is that? Oh, it's the sun."
I'm sure... not true, though. I'm sure the sun makes plenty of noise if you're close enough.
Which is the incinerating like sound of your body because
you're dead.
You're dead,
basically.
Oh,
excellent.
Golden
it's called
hour.
Golden
it's
hour.
Free. It's ad free. And it's useful. And it has a cute little icon.
And enjoy the sunset. All right, Ron, you're up next. I have it installed. Oh, yeah. I'll show it off. And dang it, you stole one from my list.
I'm sorry I stole it. It's going to happen sooner or later. But
you can do his next week now with the new rules.
Yeah. No, they're not new rules. We haven't figured that out yet.
It's true.
But anyway, Juan, you mentioned earlier in the show being concerned about, you know, data usage and things like that. This is a great app that you should check out is called Glassware. I'm sorry, Glasswire. And it is actually an app that make sure that mug is in the shot. Good job there, Jason. But
only 1 hour left.
Yep.
So Glasswire is a live and historical view of the data being used by your phone separated through mobile and Wi-Fi.
Ron, this is a really good app. Keep going.
Yeah, I know. So if you are concerned about how much data an app is using, if you think it's bleeding, you know, kind of data usage, or if you're on a strict mobile data plan and you want to be concerned about how much data you're using, you want to limit the apps that are eating up your data plan, you need to install this app literally right now. It will keep track once you install it of all your apps and how much data they're using while they're live. And as you can see here, as Jason's showing you, it separates. You can show mobile and Wi-Fi or just mobile or just Wi-Fi.
I switched to mobile and all my apps just went, okay, I want some. I want some data. I just started slurping. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so, and it's got a series of alerts. It kind of, admittedly, when you set this up, it's kind of annoying and you need to adjust it. If you hit the hamburger menu, there are, and you can look at a graph, you can look at the usage, you can monitor your data plan, but there's also that alerts tab. And that alerts tab basically will alert you every time an app is doing its first network activity, and then anytime if you set any restrictions around it, if it's breaking that or whatnot. This can get annoying real quickly. So if you hit the hamburger menu on the right, another one on the right. That's not good. But anyway, hit settings, and here you could adjust the notifications, and so you can turn off. Like, I don't need a notification or an alert every time I get first network activity. I expect network activity, that sort of thing. But you can set the limit for your data plan, limit whether you're up to 90% of your data plan or if you want to dial it down. Basically it's ways you can adjust it. There are ways to get it to the right notification level that you would want. And that's basically what it does. It just keeps track of how much data your total phone is using, mobile and Wi-Fi, as well as individual apps. And then you can set alerts for data limits. So if you want to change it to be when I'm at half of my data plan or 3 gig or 5 gig or any sort of thing, you can set all those customized alerts to fit your data needs. So it's free in the Google Play Store, and it's a must-have if you're on a limited data plan.
And I'll just go ahead and point out 1.5 gigs in the Google Play Store today, all courtesy of Juan's app, which I'll show you.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Anyways. No, it's a great app. It's called Glasswire. I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
Very well designed, too. I love all the animations, and it's really kind of a stable environment and everything.
A stable Android app? You don't say.
Hey, you got to call it out when you find them.
That's kind of a nice improvement over the sort of vague and general reporting that's actually built into Android for data usage. So
yeah.
And especially kind of the live aspect. Like you saw when I switched, when I turned off my Wi-Fi because I hadn't activated my mobile internet today or whatever since I've been here. When I turned off that Wi-Fi, it suddenly lit up and immediately started kind of showing what my apps were doing with that mobile connection. Right,
I should have you install my apps. You're way better at selling them than I am.
By the way. Well, one thing to quickly note, it is a nice design, but I cringed. And if we can go back to the product shot on it, and Flo, we talked about this over social, but go hit the hamburger menu on the left and then hit alerts. So you see it adds another three-dot menu on the right? Oh, my God. So I was literally – so a very prominent bank app has this as well, but prevalent throughout the entire app. It actually has two menus, a three-line hamburger menu and a three-dot hamburger menu. And I was actually literally out with someone who works at that bank in their design, like doing app design. And I was just like, look at this. This is wrong. And I just totally lectured him on it. So yeah, I went a little material design crazy on somebody. So there you go. That's all. That has nothing to do with my app. It was just a fun anecdote. So,
well, it's not my bank. Anyway.
Excellent. All right. Juan, now it's time for you to justify 1.5 gigs on my phone for me, please.
On a 32 gigabyte pixel, mind you.
Yeah, I had to uninstall apps. But it's okay because I have a lot of stuff.
No, it's totally worth it. 20 years after the fall of Earth, the remnants of the human race are once again faced with extinction. The time has come to justify our existence. A mysterious life form known as the Zada squares off against humanity's last weapon, the Warmech Series 3 battle suit. Dun, dun, dun.
Dang, you're really selling this.
Yeah, so this is, you know, I last time I was on, you know, I had like a fun sort of video editing app. This is one of my all-time favorite games for Android. The reason why this game is so huge is it genuinely does have just gorgeous animations. And these developers have done a really good job of keeping it sort of up to date as phones have gotten more powerful. They just recently put out another update for Android 7.1, devices on 7.1. And it's addictive to me because it's sort of a sci-fi dungeon crawler. You have these short mission maps, you have these epic boss fights, you collect materials and you get, you know, loot from different boss kills, and everything about this game is just kind of on point. You've got very good animations, you've got very good voice performances. The voice actors in this game are actually pretty good, and the scores is appropriate. Like, you get into a boss fight and the music shifts up and your pulse gets, you know, gets a little higher, and the game is just sort of launching you into some epic cinematic showdowns with evil alien creature things. So the mechanics are on point. It's a fluid, fast, fun game. It is big. So if you don't have, you know, memory card or something like that, or you don't have a 64 gigabyte phone, it's going to be a tight squeeze. But even though this game has been around for a while, I haven't found many that I like playing more than Implosion. So
dang, I'm so good at this game. I'm so good at it.
And look at that. You got your combos on point, man.
Apparently.
You got, like, the flip combo is launching.
I'm just tapping.
It's working.
That's how awesome I am. I just tap.
It's sort of like my little sister's approach to Street Fighter 2, and it works.
Yeah,
you know?
It's my,
like,
approach too, and it does work.
Sometimes that's all you need.
it totally works. So no, Implosion. I can't remember what the tagline for it is. I think it's Implosion Never Lose Hope. But no, this is a great game. It's only free to play for the first set of missions. So the first six levels are free to play, and then after that, I think it's, I can't remember how much it is to unlock. I unlocked it so long ago.
It is.
I mean, like, you know, for all the companies that are trying to kind of boast about, like, console quality graphics, well, on a phone, we know that's not true. But for a phone or for a tablet, if you're playing this on a tablet, this is one of the prettier sci-fi dungeon crawlers that I've come across.
Nice.
He's going to get you. He's got a big chainsaw.
Oh sorry. I stopped. I went into show host mode instead of gameplay mode. I will keep this installed and play it because it's actually fun.
And pop in some headphones too. Like I said, you know, not just the game is pretty. It's the score is really good. The music changes are really good. And the voice acting. I come from a voiceover background. So I was happy to hear, like, actual recorded voice transitions for the cutscenes and stuff. So that was that was definitely exciting.
Nice. Oh yeah. Excellent work.
So someone suggested this to us, I think about a year and a half ago, because we were looking for better games to, like, show. You know, we don't want to just rely on benchmarks while we're reviewing phones. And someone's like, "Oh, you should try Implosion." And you're like, "Oh yeah, I'll show," and just, like, whether or not the phone can run it smoothly. And then I just kept leveling my guy up, and I kept getting better armor, and I just kept playing it. And it's pretty rare that I get sucked into a game like that.
So. Yeah, it was fun. I got my blood's pumping right now. That could be the coffee.
Yeah.
That's probably all the caffeine you drink at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night.
What? I don't know.
Are you going to do some creating tonight?
I will be up until 3 or 4 a.m. So, yeah, probably. Yeah.
I understand that hustle.
All right. My app, let's see here, is a unique way to take kind of the notifications that come through on your phone as relates to messaging and kind of create a different kind of vibration notification method
around
them.
You have
them.
Seven different Google messaging apps?
So, yes, exactly. You could probably get granular with how each messaging app vibrates your phone. But what it's more about, this is called Converbration. Kind of hard to say.
It is.
But what it's about is kind of smart notifications that are tied to emotion, context, length of the message, importance, and gives you all sorts of settings. Oh, I'm sorry. I did that wrong.
There we go.
It gives you all sorts of settings that allow you to kind of dial in how you want to be notified about certain things, right? So I've got it active here. It does have support for Android Wear, so you can put it on there. But it has a couple of kind of quick settings, and it's really hard because it's the vibration, so it's hard to like illustrate kind of what it does. You can set up custom...
Can you put it on the table? Will the table...
I don't know if that'll work. Yeah, I'll just do this, and then maybe okay. I'll play a vibration or whatever. I'll mimic them.
Yes.
you know, it has some pre-settings, like realistic, which kind of keeps things short, quick, sound, whatever. But really, it's when you get into things like custom or context and emotion. So, for example, if somebody sends me a message and it has like a positive emotion, emoji, whatever... you could set a certain vibration on that so that when it's in your pocket and you get that message, you know that that's something you need to look at because it was a long or it was a pattern vibration or something. Or, for example,
money
you could
business.
Filter out. You could filter out to ignore certain things. If someone, you know, if you don't ever want to be notified by someone that calls you a jerk, says, you know, if someone calls you a jerk. Who's calling you a jerk in your text messages, really? But if you wanted to do that, for example, you could set that to ignore and you won't be bothered by that when it's in your pocket. You won't have to pull it out
you're
and
a jerk.
Find out you're a jerk. No one wants that. Ignore stuff. You can ignore one word messages. So someone replies K, you won't get that buzz. It'll just kind of happen.
That drives me nuts.
You know, it's like, why am I going to pull my phone out for the K or the lol? I don't need that. Lol.
I'm totally guilty of the lol reply. I'll do my push-ups and run my lap later.
At least do all caps. All caps LOL to let the person know.
This is low effort lol right there. This is like couldn't care lol.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's really true.
It really matters how you capitalize.
Anyways, so it's just kind of a cool little way to, you know, NSFW words maybe you don't like those. You want to be notified on everything where the context of the message seems to imply that it's an emergency.
I want to know about the money business.
What?
The one that's on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Money business.
Money business.
Yeah. What, like what? like, do I have, you owe me $20. I sent you a Gmail notification.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, parts of this, I guess I don't understand
Sorry.
Exactly how it determines this. Right.
You're just curious.
But no, it's a good...
What's it looking for?
I think you just play around with it.
Like, is it looking for, like, if you don't meet me behind the building with the money that you owe my father, I will...
I think, you know what? I have a feeling probably part of this is
if you get a
message with a dollar sign in it or something like that, then that's part of its clue that
big money.
Yeah. That's a pretty easy message there. Maybe there's more to that. Because they say that they're kind of... Like looking at
there's
the context
nothing more
things.
To money, Jason. It's just money.
There's nothing more to life than money. Anyways, or a question mark. You want to be notified by a question mark, and
yeah, that's fair.
You know, that sort of stuff. So you can kind of and you can customize. It's not just like do three buzzes for question mark. It can do it by the length of the words. So if, for example, you have a 5-word message that comes through and, you know, there's 3 letters in 1 word, 4 letters in 1 word, whatever. It can like imitate that with buzzing. So it'll be like, you know, based on the that was a really bad imitation of vibration.
No, but I'm actually,
you know what
really,
I'm talking about.
I'm actually really curious if, if people who are seeing disabled, I hope I'm saying that properly, would maybe have some use out of this.
And oh, like accessibility feature?
Yes.
Potentially so. Actually, you know what? This probably has, this probably could be used for accessibility reasons, I would imagine.
This is
because,
mystical.
I mean, it's all it's doing is interpreting things that are coming through and giving you that tactile mm-hmm. kind of response based on what it's seeing. This is mystical and amazing. Balls.
Try it.
And then if I try it, so here's how I'm going to demonstrate it.
Okay.
So that's what I said. This is mystical and amazing balls. Now I'm going to put it on the microphone and I'll do test. Is it going to work? Oh, my phone just, dang it.
Did you,
live demo,
live
demo.
Happens.
Such
a
okay,
bug,
let's see.
Is it vibrating?
It is, but you know, it's not. No, it's not gonna do it.
What if you put it on
but
the
it
table?
But it went dirt, and so it kind of imitated it. Really hard to
this is
off
mystical
on this show.
And yeah. Awesome balls.
Amazing balls. Yeah. So anyway. Number of exclamation points would make it vibrate stronger. You know, things like that. Weird things. It's kind of
If I knew that about someone, I would put so many exclamation points
too.
In every message.
Me too. I would just bug the crap out of them. Yeah. Why aren't you paying attention to me?
Exactly. Or you could choose to ignore it. As a user, you could go, really? 5 exclamation points? I'm not going to be bothered.
Oh, no. We didn't stop at 5.
Oh, okay. We're at like that's 50. True. That's right. You probably just held it down. 10 seconds.
That's an arms race right there. Oh, yeah. You're blocking 5 exclamation points now, sir. Are you?
All right. So it's called Converbration, which is kind of hard to say, but there you go. Converbration. And just kind of an interesting way to play around with the vibration on your phone and tie it to messaging apps. So it's your turn. It's your time to vote. Let me go ahead and fire off the bit.ly link. And that is done. bit.ly/AAAvote309. bit.ly/AAAvote309. Place your vote for your favorite. I will add images. I ran out of time today. I was really slammed. But anyways, you can place your vote. Make sure and hit submit. We'll check in on it next week and see where we end up. But that is that. Juan, thank you so much for hopping on today. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was happy to. I was stoked you guys wanted me to come back. It was,
Absolutely. Aw, jeez. Aw, shucks.
Tell us a little bit about what you're working on. Well, I guess we kind of know what you're working on. You got the watch. But where should people follow all your work?
So you can catch me personally on Twitter and Instagram, some gadget guy. And then on the PocketNow.com and PocketNow YouTube channels, that's where I'm doing all of my smartphone, tablet, and wearable reviewing. For the next week, I'm finally wrapping up my time with the Huawei P10. Going to spend a little bit more time with the G6. And then some other wearables, the new LG Tone Studio wearable speaker thing. We'll probably have some info out on that soon over the next couple days, too. So a lot of hardware. This is sort of harvest season for us right now before we get all prepped to go hit Samsung's announcement.
Mm-hmm. Right around the corner. It's gonna mm-hmm. suck all the air out of the room, the Galaxy S8 announcement.
Yes. In a good way or a bad way?
It's just going to pull everybody's attention away, and then we're going to get three straight weeks of news bites around.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry, I totally forgot to mention. Did am I the only person here who watches John Oliver on HBO?
No, I watched it. That was hilarious. Okay. I'm surprised. Oh man, I should have written about it today.
Yeah, and there were curses, so we can't show it. But there was, if you get a chance, go Google or YouTube or whatever. I'm sure it's up. But John Oliver took down Samsung like I've never seen anybody take down.
Let's just say that there's a Samsung vacuum cleaner that's on fire in it.
Yeah, it's very funny. So just go check that out. There you go. So.
Ooh, it actually made me cringe a little bit. As the person who covers this.
There
he is.
Oh, wow. It's so brutal.
Wait.
Wow. Not going to spoil it.
There it is.
That's a thing.
It's really...
It's worth watching. It's worth checking out.
It's like one of those like, ooh, it's funny, but I feel really bad.
You feel really bad.
It hits a little close to home.
Yeah, it's just like...
Flo, what you got working on?
Well, what I do have working on, is at androidcentral.com. And this week, my look at the LG G6 is going up. So if you're curious about my perspective and my time with the LG G6, it's going up on androidcentral.com this week.
Talk about that next week on this show.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. Right. But of course, if you want to follow my shenanigans through life, there's always Twitter and Snapchat at OThatFlow.
Although,
if you're currently in the blizzard, maybe don't follow me on Snapchat because I'm being one of those California jerks right now.
Good for you.
Just
enjoy the sun while you can. What about you, stuck in the kind of fake blizzard, Ron?
It was still a blizzard. We still got 8 inches here in New York, and that's
nothing to sneeze at.
It was I stayed home from work today. It was stayed off the roads, be safe, but I'm gonna go back at it tomorrow because you know someone's got to make the donuts. But go check out ifanboy.com, where every week I'm talking about comic books with my two best friends from college. We've been doing it for 11 years. why don't you go listen? We talked about the movie Logan, which is fantastic. You can find that in the feed as well as our weekly discussion of comics. And actually, I'm doing an iFanboy channel on Anchor, the app that I talked about last week. So you can tune into the iFanboy station there as well as the other great stuff there at Anchor FM, helping them out with some content as well. They're cool folks. And then also doing Damn Fine Podcast at DamnFinePodcast.com with Tom Merritt, talking about Twin Peaks every week. Just having fun. Just having fun making podcasts, guys. It's good times.
Good life. It's a good life.
It is a good life. Darn it.
Thanks, Ron, as always. What about you, Brian?
Speaking of the good life, I'm reviewing a robot, the new Dyson 360.
Is that why all your snaps are of you interacting with a Dyson? And
yeah, what you put I'm on doing it? A review for Screensavers on this thing, and I've been having fun with it.
It's been waking you up at 3 in the morning.
That was
like,
a little
go on
weird.
Snap and see you were up like 3 hours before.
Okay, so I have a theory about that. Just because I'm playing around with it, I forgot that like when it runs out of battery, it then wants to, once you put it back and it charges up again, it's just going to straight up vacuum, and it can't see in the dark, so it goes like for the one light source, which was like my TV in my bedroom. So it was like trying to get into the bedroom.
Go towards the light.
Yeah, a little Terminator vibe coming from it, but if you want to check out that or some of the how-to projects that I do, I have a show here on Twit called Know How that I do with Padre. We got some crazy projects we do occasionally.
Yeah.
And you can follow most of my exploits on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Nice. Thank you, Brian, as always. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell, music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Don't forget, if I haven't said it too many times, twit.tv/store. I still have coffee in here, by the way.
Are they still? I want to see if it's still for sale.
I don't always drink out of a mug.
The smile,
I do.
It's so great.
You guys, there's 21 minutes left to order.
Act now, those of you watching live.
Act
don't
now.
Miss out on this once in a lifetime.
By the time this is published, who knows? Maybe it'll be another 7-day campaign. I don't know.
Or maybe
twit.tv/store.
We should just put your face.
Oh no, we want them to sell.
We do. We need a Jason Howell mug now.
No, although I want one
please
too.
No. That's it though. Let's end it here. Thank
let's
you for watching
it.
Us.
Stop talking.
I'm gonna start the music.
Thanks for coming back. Appreciate it. Yeah, start the music. That's the point of no return. Voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or a video mail, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are @AndroidShow. Find us on Reddit. We are twitaa.reddit.com for our subreddit there. Show notes and past episodes can always be found on our show page on the web. That's twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, all sorts of podcast aggregators everywhere. And you can catch us live every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Hey, let's take a break. Thanks, sponsor of today's episode. Holy crap. What just happened?
What the heck?
That's awesome. I love live TV.
Man, two best of moments in one episode.